Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready today, we'll be in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. I simply entitled this, Are You an Obedient Child of God? Here is the first half of this two-part study. Amen. Amen. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13. So verse 13 we covered the last time we were in this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time in verse 13. So remember, we spent the whole Sunday on verse 13. So if you go, Mike, I want to dive into that, you can go back and listen to the study. It's online. So I'm gonna go through that, and we're really gonna hit 14 through 21 pretty fast. So I simply entitled this, Are You an Obedient Child of God? Are you an obedient child of God? And we'll look at it in three parts. His children are obedient in verses 13 through 14. In verses 15 through 17, holy conduct. And then in verses 18 through 21, his victory. So as I was putting this together, I was thinking about what it means to be holy for us as believers. And the thing that I kept remembering is our driver's test. How many of y'all remember taking your driver's test? And remember how obedient you were to all the laws, right? To all the laws. And then 2 weeks later, the radio's going full blast. You're not using your turn signals. You're going across four lanes. It's 55. You're doing 80. And that's how quickly we can drift and we can have a problem within our walks. And so for us, the thing that really is my concern as a pastor, and even for myself, is like, what happens to me the other 166 hours when I'm not in church? Right? How does that walk look? As we spent a lot of time in verses 1 through 12 looking at what it is to walk in a living hope. And what he's doing now is when Peter gets into this, he's like, okay, now you're going to walk in holiness. Right? And so for us as a follower of Christ, a walk in holiness should be as a reminder that Peter was writing to the Jews that were suffering. They had been exiled out of their homes. They had lost loved ones. They had lost their jobs. They had lost everything. And so he was like, hey, you're walking holiness. You have salvation. He's reminding them that. You have the Father. You've been chosen by the Father. But not only that, you've been sanctified by the Spirit, but you've also been sprinkled in the blood of Christ. Now a lot of people get upset or freak out when they talk about the blood of Christ. That's what we're covered by. And so we need to talk about it. So again, as we look at walking in holiness, the first thing we'll look at is our first point is in verses 13 and 14. His children are obedient. So let me read that verse in verse 13, and then we'll move on. It says, therefore, preparing your mind for action and be sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so he was telling us that we need to prepare our minds for action. You're preparing your mind with what? The Word of God. You're preparing your mind to apply the Word of God. And so being sober-minded is you're not allowing the things of this world to control you. And then you're setting your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 14, as obedient children. And we're going to stop right there. Now all of us have been disobedient children. Okay? Now you're going to be, oh, I was a great child. No, you weren't. If your mom's here, we can ask, you know, right? If my mom here, she'd tell you, Mike drove me crazy. But as disobedient children, one of the things that we see is that when it talks about it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it tells us what it is to be a son or a daughter of disobedience. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, in which you once walked following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So you are controlled and you walk by the power of the prince of the air, the enemy, the devil. That's what you were controlled by until you come to faith. You are a son and a daughter of disobedience. It goes on in Ephesians 5, 6, it says, let no one deceive you, you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So one of the things that we know is that I love this quote, and it's from an unknown author. It says, faith and obedience are bound up in the same bundle. He that obeys God trusts God, and he who trusts God obeys God. Right? It's very simple. They work pair hand in hand, right? And when we think about obedience is simply to be submitting to the will of the person. And so for us, as obedient children of God, we are submitting to who? God. So are you a son and daughter of disobedience or obedience? Because what God wants is he wants you to be full, not of yourself. Right? He wants you to be full of holiness, to be whole. Right? Is to be full of the Holy Spirit, to have that overflowing out of you and into the lives of the others that are around you. As a son and daughter that's obedient to God, we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We follow his authority. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, it says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So what he's talking about is those that just, they hear it, but they don't do it. They look at the mirror, they turn around, they forget what they're wearing. So that's that 166 hours outside of church. Right? What does it look like when you're not in church? It's easy to be church-like when we're here for an hour. Right? But what does it look like when you're not in church? See, the other thing he talks about in that thing is that in that verse in James chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the word of God. You need to be looking into God's word. If you want to be holy, you need to know his word. How do you submit to someone you don't understand? It's a relationship. It's time that's spent. It's a walk of holiness. It's a understanding as children of God. We are called that throughout the Bible. Like you're his child. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's a beautiful verse. The Spirit himself, him, he, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, he is not a force. It's not Star Wars. It's a he. It's a himself. And because of that, it's understanding that he bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. That the Holy Spirit resides in the believer. The moment that you give your heart to Christ and you repent, the Holy Spirit resides in you. And you're a child of God. You're his. That never changes. And there are times when you're not going to feel like a child of God. Right? When you're crying out for that mercy and grace, there are going to be those moments. And we need to remind ourselves that we are children of God. We can't forget that. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, it says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Don't get mixed up in the crooked generation. Don't start allowing the culture to dictate your life. It's the Word of God that controls your life. Not DC. Right? Not the TV. Not the phones. It's God's Word. And we are to be lights. He also tells us that we're children of God in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. So we are. And some of y'all need to highlight that. So we are. I am a child of God. The reason why the world does not know us is that they didn't know Him. And guess what? I didn't know Him. I wasn't an obedient child of God. I was a son of disobedience. I chased the devil for 39 years and did his will. Not knowingly, but I did. When we don't follow God, you're a son of disobedience. Now, if somebody would have told me that, I don't know if I would have received it. But when it finally hit me, I'm like, man, am I an obedient child of God? And I love what he says next in that verse, in verse 14. It says, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. To be conformed, that word is schema in the Greek, and it actually means that you're a pattern or molded and fashioned and patterned outwardly. So something is molding you from outwardly, and it's not God. Because you're allowing those old passions, those old former ignorances that you used to chase back into your life. And I mean, we know what those are. We don't need anybody to remind us what our old life looks like. But we are to be conformed. And it tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so if you are being conformed to your passions and former ignorance, you don't know what the will of God is. You're chasing the world. And so we have to be very careful, because the opposite of obedience is disobedience, and the opposite of disobedience is your passions are being led by your former ignorance. So he tells you that to obey and conform is really what he's getting down to. But what happens is, unfortunately, people set their own standards. They've created their own God in their head of what they can get away with. Right? You have your little gray area. And I hate to tell you, but my Bible, this is all black and white. The Word of God is very clear. Right? It doesn't mince words. And Peter didn't mince words because he's like, hey, what did Peter do? He went back to his former life. When Christ, he cursed out a little girl, he cut off a dude's ear. He had the worst Passion Week ever. Like in sin, he just fell over and over. And then what does he do? He goes back to the boat. And that's what a lot of us do. We go back to the old. And so he's telling us, like, if you're going to be disobedient, you're being conformed by your own standard or by whatever God that you created in your own image or whatever you've done. But that gray area, and I shared this on Wednesday night, and I thought, I don't know if I shared this on a Sunday. I think everybody's eating. Steve, you may have an issue with this because you were having a rough week last week. But let me ask you this. If we know what the Word of God says, and you pick out your favorite meal, you think about that. What is your favorite meal? Robert, what's your favorite?
Can't go wrong, steak.
Steak? Okay. Steve? Bacon cheeseburger. What you got, Ira? Lasagna. Okay. So we have a plate. We got these three guys sitting at a table. We got steak, bacon cheeseburger, probably a little onion rings or fries. We'll have to get Steve's heart checked in a couple years. And then Ira's lasagna. All the plates come out. Steak looks good. Cheeseburger looks great. But the lasagna has a hair in it. And not a little hair, a hair. But it's only on one side of the plate. So are you only going to just go, Ira's going to go, okay, well, wait a minute. It didn't affect all this other area. I'm not going to eat the, I'll just eat around it. Could you? I couldn't even eat in front of it. If somebody pulled the hair out, I'd be like, hey, I'm done. Give me the check. I'm out, right? So why would we allow gray areas in our life? Don't try to see how far you can get to the former passions of your life, because they will conform you. They will start molding you, and before you know it, you'll be drifted and fall into sin. And it's important to remember. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to the various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. I don't want to go back to that. We don't need to be drawn in by our emotions and feelings. We need to remember that, you know, as we think about this, is that we cannot pursue the past pleasures. We need to let those things die. In James chapter 1, verse 14, it says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Not God. His own lust. Temptation is temptation. You can deal with that on the heart when you have scripture written on it. You can go, I'm not messing with that today, devil. But when it entices you and you go for it, that's on you. That's your lust. So he talks about the ignorance, and that's a rough word, right? Ignorance. And then that word actually means to be led in indulgence. And that's something that an unsaved person that lacks in spiritual intelligence that does. So when you go and you're conformed to the past former lust of you go into a place of ignorance and you're acting like an unsaved person. You don't have the spiritual mentality to deal with the stuff. You're acting like you don't know. And I thought you were his child. You know. At least you should. And so if a brother or sister comes to you and says, look, this lifestyle, this thing you're doing goes against God's word, you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to walk away from it. Ephesians 4:17 says, and affirm in the Lord that you are to no longer walk just as the Gentiles also walks in the futilities of their minds. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, and it says, have you forgotten my exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard it lightly, the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens every son in whom he receives. And you know, Wednesday night I messed that up and said chastise. I got home and it hit me. I was like, what is wrong with me? Chastens. I got an education in Alabama, forgive me. Chastens. But we talked about that word. That word chasten actually means as your father trains you in a gym. Spiritually maturing and growing you, strengthening you. That's what's supposed to be happening in your life. As believers in Christ, as followers in Christ, you are to mature. You're supposed to be able to escape the difficulties of life and grow when you go through the trials and the suffering. And even when you fall flat on your face, are you going to learn from it? Right? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And you know, we talk about there's grace for the journey. You're going to need it. But don't be so quick to point out somebody else's stuff. Right? It's easy to, oh man, you forgot where you were at 4 weeks ago. Right? Crying out for mercy. It's like we get so legalistic as Christians, and that's not what God has called us to be. We show grace and mercy. We are to hopefully sow pieces. You know, we're supposed to sow seeds of peace in people's life, not disruption and division. But we are to be obedient children of God. And he tells us very simply in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I want to do what God has called me to do. I want to know what the nature of my father is, my Abba Father. I know what the nature of my dad is. Do as I say, not as I do. As he goes off and does the dumbest things. That was my whole life, as he drunk his whole life. Do as I say, not as I do. As he drove home drunk. Or at 13, he handed me the keys and said, Mike, you need to drive home, I'm too drunk. I couldn't reach the pedals. Dad was having to press the gas, and it wasn't like down the street. We went across the interstate. 13 years old. And you do as I say, not as I do. See, we have a father, he's like, hey, you keep my commandments. And when I chasten you, I'm never going to get that right. I'm going to do that the rest of the time. When I chasten you and I discipline you, learn from it. Amen. Grow from it. As obedient children. Your father who loves you wants you to be not like you. He wants you to be Christ-like. He's trying to remove all that other stuff. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So we see we are to be imitators of God. So we're not to be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. That's again why we are to be transformed by renewing our minds and be conformed to what God's will is. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, it says, but this is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. But see, this is what happens is people will drift in and out of carnality. And he's trying to get you to stop doing that. It's like that verse in Proverbs 26:11. It says, like a dog that returns to his vomit, who is fool who repeats his folly. Stop going back.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.